pledge.
At this time, I think Alexis' kids have missed her while she has been gone. I think they've been a little clingy since they've gotten back. But Alexis, I asked her to share a little bit of her story of this past week. So.
Pictures. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, how's everybody doing today? Good. It's good to be back. Okay, I'm really nervous. Okay. Okay, so missions has been on my heart for some time, like long before I came into this church. There are many things that I learned going into Calgary, like going to bed late and waking up early exhausted was every day. Fast food became our best friend. Did not expect that, but it did. And God will move through just one person or child. So at the beginning of our trip, we started to do nightly group meetings to reflect the day. And on Sunday, Mark Puckett brought up the study that Gabe and I actually participated in when we first came to this church, experiencing God. Do you guys remember that one? Do you? Okay. So I'm going to talk about that for a little bit. This stuck out to me and had me reflecting on my time in the church and how much has changed and how much God has provided for us as a family and as a church family. Are you guys going to change the pictures? I mean, I do. Is this the clicker? I have no idea. Oh, it is on.
Yep. Push that button right there. That button moves it forward. That button moves it backwards. Okay. Now you can play around with stuff.
Okay. I was like, there's definitely more than just that picture. Okay. Where was I? Oh. So it stuck out to me and had me reflecting on my time here. And he talked about the seven realities of experiencing God. God is always at work around you. God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. God invites you to become involved with him in his work. God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church. 5, God's invitation for you to work with him always leads you to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. 6, you must make major adjustments in your life to join God in what he is doing. And 7, you come to know God by experiencing God by experience as you obey him and he accomplishes his work through you. So from the moment that I waddled into this church, because I was pregnant with Weston, all the way to today, God has been accomplishing work through this church and each reality through each of us. Being in Calgary and seeing the lost souls, which if you look at this picture, there's more people in this picture than there is in Manchester, Winchester, and Tullahoma combined. And they're all lost. There's one church with maybe 100 people in it. So coming from the Southern Bible Belt, I was baffled. I didn't truly grasp the concept of how many was truly lost. I met many children who had never heard of Jesus before, where many of us, most of us, have grown up to the stories of Jesus. So story after story, hold on. Okay. Day after day, 5 children went to 20 children, and 7 children went to 1 child. Through all the trials and tribulations and attacks on this trip, Calgary was humbling and made my spirit crave. And may my spirit crave to do more, not just for the lost in Calgary, but all of the lost that are listening. So I pray that this seed that was planted in all the parents and children that we encountered gets watered and flourishes into a beautiful garden. Thank you, Pastor Mark, for embarking and embracing an area outside of our comfort zones And thank you, church, for the opportunity and support to come to Calgary and experience this. I hope that we are all able to go back or maybe go somewhere else. And I pray that we can create a team who can do this together so that each of us has this experience with God in this way. So thank you. Yeah, that's it. I can't multitask.
Thank you so much, Alexis and Sheila. What a beautiful... Jacob? I will tell them about Jacob. I've been given orders to tell you about Jacob. I'll tell you later. So you'll have to wait. But thank you so much, Sheila, for your testimony. God is so good. God uses doctors, and he uses all kinds of things to heal us and help us. But even without the medicines and stuff, God always walks with us and uses us. So thank you so much. Thank you, Alexis, for the passion. I'm not going to get through today. It's going to be tough. I'm wrong. So you have to bear with me. I did not prepare a sermon in the way I normally do, so I have no idea how long we're going to go here, but I'm going to try to make this organized and as meaningful as possible. But thank you so much for Alexis. If you want your life changed and your heart changed, go to another part of the world. That picture she showed, Simon's Valley, 40,000 people in one valley, just a small, tiny part of Calgary, one church. Most have never even heard the name of Jesus. Calgary is an area of about 1.5 million people. It's twice the size of Nashville. Most of them are Sikh and Muslim and atheist and Hindu. The need there cannot be described. You have to see it. It was an amazing time, an amazing journey. And all week long, the sermon wrote itself, story after story, and I can't tell you all of them, but they were so amazing. But I thought about this. I thought about the parable of the mustard seed, where Jesus said the seed would be planted and then it would grow and spread through all of the earth. Another famous parable Jesus talked about, the parable of the sower. The parable of the mustard seed, the parable of the sower have something in common, the seed. And God talks about how that the gospel is a seed that needs to be planted. Later on, when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he said this: what after all is Apollos, who was a leader in the church, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you come to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but who? But God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. The principle of sowing and reaping is all throughout the New Testament. And we all understand sowing and reaping in the physical world. You sow seed and you have to wait for it to grow and you have to water it and treat it well. And later on, you reap what you sow and you reap more than you sow. And this last week, we went and we sowed seeds. And our association has been going to Calgary for years and years and years in different teams. We've got a team that went up the week before us. We went last week. There's another team there this week. They were coming into Calgary as we were leaving. And we work with churches up there. Plant seeds, and we trust, and we give the rest to God. All we're called to do is be faithful. Paul said in chapter 4, just after this, this then is how you ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries of God as revealed. It is required that those who have been given a trust, that's all of us here in this room, if you're saved, you must prove what? Faithful. We cannot look only at results. Because if you plant a seed, row of corn today, and you go look at the results tomorrow, you're going to get discouraged because not much has happened yet. You and I are simply called to be faithful. And so as we went to Canada last week, I met with Alexis and Gabe and Della and some of her family. We met at Cracker Barrel last Saturday at 8:30 in the morning. So I was up at 7. We got into Canada just after midnight their time, so it was 1 a.m. here. And then it was after 2 o'clock their time, 3 a.m. here, when we got to our ministry center, where we slept. It was a 20 or 21 hour day, and we were all exhausted. And Mark Puckett, our leader, didn't say, "Now y'all can sleep in tomorrow." He said, "Nope, we got to be up at 7. We're going to church." So we all had about 2 hours sleep, and we were up and gone again. But where we went, the Canadian National Baptist Convention, that is the counterpart to the Southern Baptist here in America. The Canadian Baptist Association there in America has 300 churches all across Canada. The entire country's got 300 churches. By comparison, in the United States alone, the Southern Baptist Association has 47,000 churches. So even taking into account the population difference, the number of churches we have in our country dwarfs what they have in Canada. And the men who are working and the women who are working and planting seeds up there, they are working in a place of darkness, and they have a struggle, and they're doing it so, so faithfully. The ministry center we went to, we get in late at night, and these are our rooms. Reminded me of my college days, sleeping in a bunk like that. And Jim, a pastor at Highland Baptist in Tullahoma, he was my roommate for the week. I gave him the double bed back there, and I had that bed. And we get up and we go to church at Tapestry Church that morning. Beautiful time of service. They had a preacher from Africa in preaching at their church that day. Tapestry Church was planted and led by Kelly Reed, somebody I want to talk to about our church about later. Kelly Reed is a church planter with the Aspen Network. He planted Tapestry Church many years ago. In 2017, God laid on their heart to plant 5 churches in their area. Today, they have planted 15 churches. He says we expect to have a total of 20 churches planted by the end of the year. He is a church planter at heart. And when I say church, I don't mean church building. They have few church buildings. They meet in community centers. They meet wherever they can, just like they did in the first century. And Kelly Reed is stepping away. The church that he pastors now is healthy enough where he can step away, and he's going to promote or go full-time planting more churches with the Aspen Network. So that means he's leaving his salary behind, and he is looking for support. And our association is already supporting him. We've been supporting him and this entire network for years and years and years. But now the association is asking churches to consider to support him and others, church planters, as individual churches. And I would like for us to pray about that. I got to meet with him. I didn't get a picture, unfortunately. Met with him and talked to him several times throughout the week. What a great man. He's going to be coming here in October to the association, and we're doing our best to get him to come to our church and speak to our church. But what an amazing work he's done. Now, before I get into what we actually did, I'll show you the fun stuff first and get that out of the way. I know everybody wants to see the pictures. Banff, B-A-N-F-F, National Forest, is about an hour away from where we were staying. Beautiful, beautiful place in the Rocky Mountains. This is Lake Minnewanka, one of the most beautiful places I'd ever seen. We stopped. We spent about 3 hours Friday afternoon just in this national park area. There's one of the mountains there, just amazing mountains and tall. And here's some strangers I ran across there. That's Alexis and her new friend Lily, who goes to Winchester First Baptist with Aaron and his group that was there. And somebody said, "Hey, turn around, look behind you." And we turn around and look behind, and look at this. These sheep are just laying there watching us. They're going like, "Y'all take your time. We're in no hurry." And then they decided to walk across the road. It was an amazing afternoon being there. I would love to go back and see that. But more than go back and see that, I'd like to go back and take the gospel. Our morning location. We teamed up with White House Church, White House Baptist Church. It's up north of here, north of Nashville. It wasn't the plan. This week, nothing went according to plan. It was one of those weeks, but that's okay because God works and God moves. The initial church that we were supposed to work with in the morning canceled on us at the last minute. So Mark was scrambling to find, what are we going to do? And we were put in touch with White House Baptist Church, another sister church north of Nashville. They were doing a work in a different part of the town that morning, and so we went to help them. We get there and we discover that this is their very first mission trip ever anywhere. They appreciated the help. And when we went to a big field, a big area, right behind this community center. And inside the community center, you can't quite see it. I didn't get a good picture of that. I met this man. His name is Pastor Rukima. He is the pastor of the Congolese Baptist Church there inside the community center where this field surrounds. And they have their services on Sunday afternoons because he works third shift and many of their other people work third shift. And they tried a morning church and it just didn't work. So they meet at 1 o'clock. But their church services last 3 hours. 3 hours. I'm not promoting or asking that we go to a three-hour service. Don't worry. And I had a great time talking with him. And he would hang out and he was talk with the kids as long as he could there. But this is the church that we were getting people connected with while we were there. We show up and as we were putting things together, the groups would meet and talk with kids because people would just walk through the fields and people would be there. And we would set up these tents. And we would go out and the teens that were with us, the group that was with us, we'd take these tents, these pop-up tents, and in about 15 minutes we'd have the tents up, tables down, we'd have the stories out and the stories ready. And we'd be hanging out with the people. And then at each of the booths in the morning, we weren't doing the teaching. We were each assigned an age group of people. And we would take each of these kids to each of these different booths. And some places they would be doing crafts. And at these crafts, of course, they involved the things like Jesus loves me and John 3:16. And one of the booths would be a booth where they would sing songs that glorified the holy name of Jesus. Another booth would be where this couple would tell missionary stories. And it was so cool. They brought a blow-up globe with them, and they would have the kids come and say, "Now, where are you from?" Kids from the Congo, a kid from Pakistan, Mexico, the Philippines, South Africa, Ethiopia. All over the world in this field were kids. And none of them looked like us. And it didn't matter. Loved on them, they loved on us, and we had such a great time sharing the stories, singing, and then they would hear the gospel message, and many of the adults and the parents would hang out, and some of them would listen and pay attention, and I would try to talk to some of the adults as I could. And here you can see this big field where they would play soccer, and Aaron Tyner, who is the youth pastor at Winchester, and his group would do the recreation and the sports and the soccer and make connections with them, and I'll tell you more about that later. And then in the afternoon, we went to another location where we met Pastor Amor, a pastor we've been working with for years and years and years through our association. And this is Pastor Amor, and I've got a fabulous story. I know more stories coming later, I promise you. I kind of want to walk you through our day. But while we were working with the kids in the new location in this highly populated residential area, he would be out talking to people who just walked by, telling them about his church. "Hey, why don't you go to that booth and hear about Jesus?" And he would talk. And on Monday afternoon, at the end of the thing, he came up to me and he said, "You know that guy Lester you met and you talked to?" I said, "Yeah." Because I met Lester on that very first day. I know nobody. And Pastor Moore is up there with two or three people. One of them was his son, who is a pastor. And there was another man from his church there. And I assumed Lester was from his church. But Lester wasn't from his church. He was just there because he knew Pastor Moore. And that's the last I heard. But at the end, later on that day, Pastor Moore, he said, "You remember Lester you talked to?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "He just got saved today." I thought he was already a Christian. But he had been coming to these vacation Bible schools because he lives in that area. And so he had known Pastor Amor that way. And finally he accepted Jesus. Wow, what cool. And this is the kind of thing that, and Pastor Amor is so great at just sharing the gospel with strangers. But while he's doing that, we're in this location. You can see these houses behind us. There's row after row after row of houses. And we had taken cards with little QR codes on to promote the Vacation Bible School. And we met and played soccer there with these kids. This is Jackie from our team teaching the kids Bible stories. And you know Alexa, she was there teaching Bible stories in the afternoon. And sometimes we would just make friends who show up into the park because they would have these big, huge residential areas. And every residential area had these massive, beautiful parks in them. And so this is Corbin, one of the teens that went with us, just hanging out with another teen from Canada, telling him why we're here. What was he doing? Planting gospel seeds. And here again is Alexis. She had that one little girl. And I saw this picture, and I watched her with this little girl hanging out and stuff. And I saw her teaching this little girl with some of our team members there beside her. And I thought about the parable of the lost sheep. The shepherd left how many? He left 99 to do what? To go after the one. And many times our interactions, one-on-one, one person, they heard the gospel. Some for the first time. Some heard the name Jesus for the first time. And as we're doing this in these parks, and here, I'm going to go back, in this field, all day long, up and down the sidewalk, you would see people walking wearing the turbans, the Sikhs. Sikhs was huge in this area. And there were the Muslims and the Hindus and all of these walking up and down as we're presenting the gospel, inviting them into our tents. And many of them would let their kids come into the tents and hear the gospel story and hear about Jesus for the very first time. And this is what we did these days. And then at night, this is a group, Aaron Tyner, youth pastor at Winchester, he brought a group of three teens and his 12-year-old son, JJ, with him there. And they would do their devotions at morning and at night. And this is a picture of Aaron from the front. This is when we were in Banff, just doing a little bit of shopping after we went and looked at the mountains with the kids that he brought with him. I need to tell you about JJ. JJ, to the right, to the left side there, I guess it is of Aaron, the smallest little one. JJ is Aaron's son, 12 years old, who came with him. JJ was the hit of the morning group. The kids loved him. And they would talk to him in ways they wouldn't talk to us adults. And he got to share with them and plant seeds with them. And when that last day was over on Thursday, and they're like, we're not coming back, they're all disappointed. Because it was JJ wasn't going to be around. And they're already looking forward to next year. Many of these kids come year after year. And they would come up, and I'm watching. I hadn't noticed at first. I look over, and all these kids are hugging JJ and hugging JJ. And next thing I see, they're all wanting pictures with JJ. And not just the kids. The mom says, can we have pictures with JJ? And JJ, a 12-year-old boy, I think planted more gospel seeds that week than some adults I know. And all he did was love on kids and talk about Jesus. I asked JJ, as we were riding at the end of that day, I was riding with Aaron and I was riding with JJ. He was pulling the trailer that where we carried all this stuff in, and JJ's sitting in the back. I said, JJ, what'd you think about this week? Because this was his first mission trip. He goes, I couldn't believe this. The very first words out of his mouth was, it was humbling. He says, these kids don't have what I have. And he's already looking forward to coming back next year. He wasn't thinking about the long travel and the cramped cars we're in and way too much fast food and the uncomfortable beds and all of that stuff. He was thinking about kids that don't hear what he's already got. And that morning group, I was assigned to walk with 11 and 12-year-olds and move them from station to station, which was an opportunity for me not to have to teach or do anything like that, just to get to know the kids. And the first day went pretty smooth and went pretty well. And in my old group, I had a kid from Ethiopia named Marco, and I'm going to show you his picture in a second. Marco, and then I had some kids from the Congo, and there was three of them that they kind of knew each other, and they didn't know Marco. And then there was a girl, Bianca, from Mexico, and Luke from the Philippines. And as I'm taking them through all these booths and stuff, one of the booths, they gave a prayer journal to each of the kids. And as they're giving the prayer journals, the three of the boys from the Congo who were part of the church, they didn't care about the prayer journal. Kind of broke my heart a little bit. But Luke and Bianca, they opened up their prayer journal, and they started writing right away. And I noticed that Luke, I mean, he was writing this long paragraph. I didn't read it. It's not my business. He wrote this really long paragraph. And I'm praying this whole time, watching him write and watching Bianca write. And when he got done writing and they were getting ready to move on, the lady that was leading that booth, who was the head of their mission team there, she goes, Luke, I noticed you wrote an awful lot. Can I pray with you over something? He goes, I'm going into high school next year and I'm scared to death. And she said, well, can I pray with you? He said, yes. And I watched is this lady prayed with a stranger. She was scared to go to high school, just like probably a lot of freshmen here in our county who are going into high school this year. And he has this journal that he loved it. And story after story like that as I'm taking these kids through. But on Wednesday, I had an issue. Remember Marco. This is Marco. And make sure we're not showing his picture up there. We don't have permission to show minors out on the internet, so this is not going out. Marco's from Ethiopia. He's not from the Congo where the other boys of his age were. And there has been a little back and forth going the whole time. And I look up, but the next thing I know, Marco's in a fist fight with one of the other boys. And I've got to get over there. And I grab the other boy, and I grab him, and I take him, and I set him aside, and somebody else went. And actually, two of the other little boys helped to grab Marco and pull him off. And the guy I grabbed, he calmed down right away. He said, "I'm sorry." But Marco was mad. I mean, his level of rage was something that you just should not see in a kid. And he's yelling and he's screaming, "I'm going to beat you." And he's using language that even adults shouldn't use. And the whole camp is kind of like, "What is going on?" And I'm feeling a little guilty because I'm in charge of these guys, and all of a sudden they're in fights. And I drag him away, and the man that was leading that booth took Marco and walked him way away, and he's still yelling and eventually gets him to calm down a little bit, we thought. And all of a sudden he comes running towards the booth, and I look up, and as he's running, he's yelling and screaming how he's going to beat this kid, and I have to get in his way. And then Aaron, remember the youth pastor, he took him off another direction. This goes on for about 20 minutes before he finally started to calm down a little bit. And he finally comes back. He says, "I'm calm." Well, the leader of the other church, "I'm still not in charge." She says, "I don't think I'm going to let you back in." And I'm thinking, I'm not sure that that's the right decision. But I get it. If he's not calm, we can't have him attacking another kid. And he says, "No, I'm calm. I'm good now." She goes, "Well, I'll tell you something. In America, when we shake hands on things, and when we shake a hand, we're making a promise." She says, "Will you shake hands with me and make me a promise that you'll be calm the rest of the time?" He said, "Yes, I will." And so Marco and I, we walked over to it was the last station where they were to hear a Bible lesson. I wouldn't let him sit with the boys. He and I sat down there on the front row. It was the bleachers. And the pastor from the other church started teaching a Bible lesson on forgiveness. And he listened. At first, he was just still irritated, but he had made a promise, and I'm keeping a real close eye on him. And as the preacher talked a little bit, he started to calm down, calm down, calm down. And then the pastor's wife gets up, and they got a verse, Psalm 34:3. It talks about proclaiming that the Lord is good, and they gave him motions. And she says, "Let's read this verse, and let's do these motions." Guess who was the one kid that did it the loudest and with the most enthusiasm? It was Marco. And when we were done, it was the end of the day, and Marco turns to me and he gives me a high five. Up until that point, he had barely acknowledged my existence, even though we'd be close and I would talk to him and try to get in touch with him. He gave me a high five, and there was a touch. I call those touch points when you're able to touch somebody, either physically or emotionally. Touch somebody in a way that plants a gospel seed. And so, "You coming back tomorrow?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm going to come back tomorrow." The next day when he comes, the last day of the camp, he comes walking right up to me, gives me a high five. He goes, "I'm calm today." He goes, "If I see that kid, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to be nice." I said, "Good for you, Marco." I said, "Marco, if he gives you trouble, you talk to me and I'll take care of it. I promise you." We didn't have any trouble that day. And Marco participated better than some of those other kids. And I got to introduce Marco to Pastor Rakima, which you saw earlier. I said, "Dink, now you can go to this church here." I was so touched. Kid from Ethiopia. I don't know his culture, his background, but he was able to calm down and hear the gospel message. Pray for Marco. I got to keep going. I know we're running over, but I got two more stories especially I got to tell you. And this one can't go out either, Josh. Kipa. This man's name is Kipa. Kipa is a Sikh. I had never met a person who was from the Sikh religion before. But all week long, I saw men walking up and down. They were Sikh, obviously Sikh. Most of the ones that I saw were older, long white beards. I'm not even sure they spoke English. They were very unapproachable. And I'd been praying all week, God, I would love to talk to a Sikh man. I would love to talk to him. Thursday afternoon came. I had not had an opportunity. And up walks Kipa and his wife. Brought their kids to our VBS that day. They'd seen it. They wanted to hear. And so there's Kipa standing about from here to where the drums are. And I've been praying, God, I want to talk to a man who's a Sikh. And there he stood. And I'm not an outgoing, gregarious kind of guy. Talking to strangers is not my thing. But he was standing there. The answer to my prayer. But in order for me to realize the answer to prayer, I had to take a step of faith. And I walked over to him, and I said, how you doing? My name is Mark. And he said, my name is Kipa. And I had him repeat it a couple times because he has an accent. He is from India. He's been living about a dozen years in the Calgary area. He's an insurance advisor. And I said, you're Sikh, correct? He goes, yes. And I asked him, can you tell me a little bit what you believe? Because I don't know a why. And he started to talk to me about what he believed. And I said, you know what? You're an answer to prayer. He goes, what? I said, yeah, I've been praying to talk to a Sikh man this week. And we began to talk for probably 20 or 25 minutes. And he explained a lot about what they believed. But in him explaining a lot about what he believed, opened the door. And I got to share with him on two separate occasions in that conversation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sadly, he did not accept Jesus that day, but I got to plant seeds. He didn't really know much about Jesus. He was open to having his kids learn about Jesus because he goes, I want them to make their own decisions. And his kids got to take home a gospel Bible with them, for him to read. God answered my prayer, and I had that conversation. I got to share the gospel. The Bible says that I'm just supposed to be faithful, that it's God that gives the increase. And you know, I talk a lot about steps of faith in our church, correct? I believe that many times our answered prayer is right here, but we've got to take a step of faith to realize the answered prayer. I got to share the gospel with the Sikh man. Not going to see a whole lot of Sikhs in Coffee County. I got to plant some gospel seeds. You remember Pastor Amor? We're about done. I had got to have a nice, long conversation with Pastor Amor. He's 75 years old. He's been pastoring and planting churches in Calgary for 25 years. And he's tired. And he's looking for help. And we've been helping him and his church for years through our association. But he told me his story. He said, when I was 6 years old living in the Philippines, a man from Tennessee by the name of Tisdale came to my town. He was a missionary, and he did a vacation Bible school. And I was six, and I accepted Jesus at 6 years old. And he told me his story of how he got to Calgary and how he's been planting churches and pastoring for decades. And as he tells me his story, I couldn't help but think, 69 years ago, a man from Tennessee planted a gospel seed. 69 years ago, that man that planted that gospel seed had no idea that 69 years later, a young boy would be in Calgary, Canada, and would meet another pastor from Tennessee planting gospel seeds. My friend, when you share the gospel, you may not see the result, but there is results. How cool is it? 69 years later, my very first VBS, I get to meet a man that's been doing it for years, and he got his start in a VBS in another country, thousands of miles away. God is good. This is our team. This is our group. That's Calgary behind us. An area of 1.5 million people, 95% lost. They need the gospel. Here's another picture of Calgary. Jesus told us, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You never know how large that seed will grow when you plant it. As I shared with Pastor Amor and as I talked with him, my heart was burdened for Calgary. It is my prayer, hopefully we can send another team back next year to continue the work, to continue to do what God has asked of us. You never know, there might be a 6-year-old boy that heard the gospel this week that goes on to become a pastor. Or maybe not a pastor, he might be a school teacher or an engineer who shares the gospel in his community. My friend, there's a lost and dying world out there. And it's not just in Calgary. It's in Summitville and Manchester and Morrison. And it's all around us. Let us be about our Father's business in planting gospel seeds. Rob, would you come up, please? Can you do Amazing Grace? Were you prepared for that? Would you all stand? We're going to take a few moments to pray. This morning, I would like to ask you to pray for Calgary and for our pastors in Calgary, for Kelly, Pastor Amor, Pastor Rakim, and all the others. Pray what God would have you to do, whether it's a mission field across the world or across the street. Pray for the seeds that were planted this week. Oh God in heaven, there's so much more that I believe you have spoken to our hearts. I pray that lives have been touched today. I pray that you will give us a passion for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Make us a mission church. In Christ's name we pray. Let's all sing Amazing Grace. If you want to.